It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Peace. In the Middle East,
there is a path to eventual Palestinian statehood.
That is our top story at noon. President Trump will take the wraps off his Mideast peace plan at the White House momentarily. He's being joined by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. That plan calls for a path to peace through a dramatic remapping of the West Bank.
Here's the problem is Islamic Jihad, Hamas, Fatah, they all thrive off the war.
That's Lieutenant Colonel James Carafano. He's at the Heritage Foundation.
You know, it's like the old IRA. The IRA had no interest in peace because they were benefiting off the war. And I think that's the strategy here.
The peace package being unveiled today reportedly includes a redrawn border between Israel and the West Bank that would incorporate large Jewish settlements into Israel. President Trump says it's a plan he predicts the Palestinians will support. Wrapping up the defense, that is the other big story at noon.
Presidential impeachment has become a weapon.
President Trump's legal team will finish its opening arguments today at the Senate impeachment trial. Attorney Alan Dershowitz says the litmus test Democrats are using to convict this president would have ousted most of those who've occupied the Oval Office.
Abuse of power is an accusation easily leveled by political opponents against controversial presidents. In our long history, many presidents have been accused of abusing their power.
Three wavering Republicans now say they're in favor of calling witnesses after excerpts from an upcoming book from former National Security Advisor John Bolton were released. In the book, Bolton claims he was told by President Trump to freeze military aid to Ukraine in exchange for an investigation into the Bidens. Here's California Democrat Adam Schiff.
Senators should not wait until March 17 when the book comes out. They should demand this information while it would still be pertinent to their decision.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz says if the Senate approves new witnesses, he will ask that Hunter Biden be made to testify. The Senate trial resumes at 1 o'clock this afternoon. President Trump will host a re-election rally tonight in Wildwood, New Jersey. New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew will be on stage with the commander-in-chief. Van Drew was a lifelong Democrat. He explains why he switched to the GOP.
There's a whole lot of reasons, but basically it's what I call the lurch to the left. So much of what the Democratic Party was when I started, and it is not what it is right now.
Van Drew's switch to the Republican Party happened as a result of the impeachment issue. Tonight's rally in Wildwood, New Jersey will start at 7 o'clock. No May Day call was made. Investigators say the pilot of the helicopter that crashed, killing NBA superstar Kobe Bryant and eight others, was trying to avoid a cloud layer just before crashing into a hillside near Los Angeles.
Not just focusing on weather here, though. We look at man, machine, and the environment, and weather is just a small portion of that.
Jennifer Homendy at the NTSB says the helicopter crashed with enormous force on Sunday, scattering debris everywhere.
A piece of the tail is down the hill. The fuselage is over on the other side of that hill.
There was no black box on board the chopper, which was not required to have one. Officials say the helicopter was cleared to fly that morning in spite of the foggy conditions. The coronavirus has prompted new travel warnings in the U.S., health officials advising Americans to avoid unnecessary trips to China because of the deadly virus that spread to 15 countries, being blamed for over 100 deaths. This American trying to get his family out of the epicenter for the bug, Wuhan, China.
From the moment they stepped foot on Wuhan, they were told, you know, stay inside, don't get in big gatherings, and then the city went on lockdown.
His family among three of the roughly 1,000 Americans who are trapped in Wuhan. Correspondent Raymond Osencio continues.
They hope to be chosen to fly on the State Department's chartered flight Wednesday. The government says priority will be for those at greater risk.
We've got a 10-month-old. We've got a 5-year-old. They should be prioritized.
U.S. health officials do say the virus is not spreading widely in the country and public danger is low. Still, 5 cases have been confirmed, while more than 100 suspected cases are being tested across 26 states.
That's Raymond Osencio reporting. Still to come this Tuesday afternoon, saving the library in Jamestown, kicking in the doors in Harrisburg, and local athletes sound off on Kobe.
Well, good afternoon to all. Things remain rather quiet on the weather scene. Just a touch of snow here and there. A couple of slippery spots as well. I'll be back with forecast details coming up shortly.
Thank you, Kevin Williams, checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania this Tuesday, January 28th. 2 Broome County, New York residents are being monitored for the coronavirus. Both had recently been to China and have complained of respiratory illness.
People who have been exposed to or had contact with someone who's traveled to China or has traveled to China themselves would be people we want to keep a closer eye on.
Dr. Bill Valenti is with the Broome County Health Department. The CDC now monitoring over 100 suspected coronavirus cases in 26 states. Local coaches and athletes now sounding off on the sudden death of Kobe Bryant, the 41-year-old basketball star, and his 13-year-old daughter, among the people killed in a helicopter crash outside L.A. on Sunday.
It's unbearable. It's gigantic. It's something that is beyond basketball. It's just Kobe was such an icon as far as his work ethic, as far as doing things the right way.
Brandon Woods is the varsity boys basketball coach at Sweet Home in Buffalo. He says Kobe Bryant played the game the right way.
My aspiration as a coach is always to have your best players as your hardest workers. And Phil Jackson and, you know, other coaches that have had Kobe Bryant, the pleasure of coaching him, Coach K, didn't have to worry about that.
When he passed, it hit me like I knew him, because when I was growing up, I was always watching his highlights, watching his videos.
Junior Dominic Lewis plays on the boys' basketball team at Sweet Home. He says Kobe Bryant's work ethic inspired him, both on and off the court.
Just his mentality, it was something different. It's like nothing you would ever see. He would do the most for his team, not even and off the court for his family. Did everything for his daughter Gianna. He got it done at all times.
Local coaches say they're using the death of Kobe Bryant to teach kids the importance of living life to its fullest, because tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us. Vice President Mike Pence will be back in central Pennsylvania next week. He's going to speak at a Women for Trump event at the Radisson Hotel in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, Wednesday, February 5th. The VP will be joined on stage by White House advisor Kellyanne Conway and Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. A proposal to ban gun sales and images of guns within 1,000 feet of schools in the town of Manheim, Pennsylvania, shot down last night. Local leaders say state and federal law prohibit them from banning guns near schools. Local attorney Paul Rossi.
You clearly don't have the authority under the First Amendment to restrict the posting of signs that look like guns. It's ludicrous. I don't know what this space that Lancaster Country's Day School is that the people are trembling if they see a gun.
Steve Lisk is in charge of Lancaster Country Day School, which first brought the request back in September. He says keeping kids safe should be everyone's top priority.
And if this is not the right concept at this level of government at this point in time, I hope that we find a way to get in front of this. When students are unsettled, when they are frightened, when they are scared, that is a distraction.
Local leaders say if the school feels threatened by gun sales, it needs to contact state lawmakers or members of Congress. An effort is underway to make Steuben County, New York, a sanctuary county. Gun rights activist Kyle Peterson has launched a petition drive to protect the county from what he calls unconstitutional firearms restrictions.
We have a lot of great support out there. We have over 3,500 people on our Facebook page, and we have around 1,000, I'm going to estimate as paperback signatures, and another 3,000 online.
Gun Owners of America started the grassroots effort as a way for folks at the local level to get involved in the gun control debate. Local leaders continue the push for bail reform changes in New York.
We are in the midst of what I am calling a public safety crisis.
New York State Senator Fred Akshar, Broome County District Attorney Michael Korchak.
Someone breaks and enters into your home while you're sleeping upstairs. They're immediately released.
The controversial bail reform measure became the law of the land on January 1st in New York. Police agencies across the state say judges need more discretion in deciding whether suspects are a danger to the community before they're sprung loose from prison. Several folks in Harrisburg say kids are kicking in the front doors of homes with security cameras on them. These two guys say their front doors were heavily damaged after being kicked in.
People going around, opening up screen doors and kicking a door as hard as they possibly can.
If somebody's kicking in my door, I don't know if somebody's trying to rob me, trying to kill me. If it's an ex-girlfriend, I don't know what it is. So I definitely want to protect my house and my home. You know, I have a two-year-old boy living in there with me, and it's just me and him.
Homeowners say they want cops to get ahead of the problem here before a prank turns deadly because a young kid gets shot. Police in Harrisburg say they're investigating a dozen incidents of homes being damaged from kicked-in front doors. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf wants to raise the wage. It's been more than a decade since the minimum wage was last raised in the Keystone State. Reporter Erica Moffitt-Dilks has more from Harrisburg.
Wolf says nearly a million people in the state would be helped by an increase, and that tens of thousands would be able to work their way off of public assistance. The House and the Senate cannot seem to agree on a bill that would increase the rate.
Right now, the minimum wage in Pennsylvania, $7.25 an hour. The governor wants it hiked to $12 an hour, with a gradual increase of 50 cents a year every single year until it reaches $15 an hour. The public library in Jamestown, New York, could be on the chopping block because of a lack of funding.
I think it's terrible that such a great place has this much trouble.
But city officials are hoping to save the library by imposing a special tax, which will be voted on this spring in Jamestown. Ann Green works at the library. She says it serves a vital need in that community.
We don't ever want to have to worry about having a digital divide. That's not good because, you know, we're separating technology from people who don't have access to it. So we have we want to make sure that our community is served with all of the needs that the library can provide.
The Prendergast Library is the largest public library in Chautauqua and Cattaraugus counties. Earlier this month, it lost its state funding, and its local support has been drastically reduced, too. Officials say without that special tax, the library in Jamestown, New York, will cease to exist. The Golisano Children's Hospital in Rochester, New York, now giving parents a new way to see their newborns in the neonatal intensive care unit.
For those families, life still goes on, all right? They still have to go to work. They still have other kids to take care of, other life responsibilities that preclude them from being here 24/7.
Dr. Jeff Myers says Angel Eye allows moms and dads to monitor their newborns in the hospital from home.
For those families, this allows them to feel better, I think, about not being here and just feel reassured that their baby's being well cared for and that they have a chance to see their baby.
The hospital has installed 20 cameras in the neonatal intensive care unit, which parents can now access from the comfort of home. Kobe headed to the Hall. Sunny Time, your two-minute drill.
Yeah, no big surprise here. The late Kobe Bryant is heading to the Hall of Fame. The traditional voting process will be bypassed, sending him straight to Springfield, Massachusetts. Hall of Fame officials say the other inductees for the class of 2020 will be announced in April. Shaquille O'Neal was hoping to be a part of that induction ceremony.
We still are the best duo ever created. That's not going to change. For me, this is going to hurt a long time. I really lost a brother.
Tonight's NBA game between the Lakers and the Clippers in Los Angeles is being postponed. The NBA says the death of Kobe Bryant and eight others makes grieving more important than playing. Bryant spent 20 years with the Lakers and won 5 championships. On a much lighter note, it is Super Bowl week. Both the Niners and Chiefs in Miami, San Fran, and Kansas City playing this Sunday for the Lombardi. Phillip Rivers will not be playing for the Chargers anymore. Multiple reports say the Bolts plan to let Rivers enter free agency and will not re-sign him. Rivers has spent his entire 16-year career with the Chargers. years. Congratulations to the Browns, making Andrew Berry the youngest GM in the NFL. The 32-year-old is also just the second African-American in that position, joining Miami's Chris Greer. Let's head down under, and a shocker, Roger Federer saved 7 match points in the fourth set to beat 100th-ranked Tennis Sandgren in 5 sets.
You've got to get lucky sometimes, I tell you that.
Sandgren on the loss.
Can't give a good player, let alone maybe the best player ever, that many chances to come back.
Roger Federer will take on Novak Djokovic in the semifinals. In women's semi-action, top-ranked Ashley Barty, trying to become the first Australian to win the national championship in 42 years, will take on American Sofia Kenin. Quarterfinal action, top-ranked Rafael Nadal battles Dominic Thiem. Alexander Zverev will take on Stan Wawrinka. Women's action, Wimbledon champion Simona Halep plays Annette Contaviet. Two-time major winner Garbine Muguruza will take on Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolfiette.
Good job on the names, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, wrapping up the defense. The Senate impeachment trial resumes this afternoon. Plus, making connections over a cup of coffee. Meet today's hometown hero. And at the end of today's broadcast, 1,000 pounds of bean dip. Get the tortilla chips ready.
It's not just marijuana. The latest debate among conservatives is whether or not to ban another addictive drug, pornography. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Back in December, conservative voices on Twitter had a heated debate over whether or not the government should get involved in the fight against pornography, particularly because of how it impacts kids. Writers like Catholic Matt Walsh at the Daily Wire made the case that porn's no longer an issue of private morality, if it ever was. Today, porn's a public health crisis. Mountains of evidence reveal not only its addictive power, but also its devastating consequences for women and children. Walsh argued that free market solutions have been exhausted, and so banning pornography and prosecuting those who distribute it is the only way to contain this scourge on our families and society. Others argued for at least increased governmental regulation. Some libertarians pushed back, insisting that although porn's harmful, the government should not regulate what consenting adults look at on their computers or phones. Really? How's handling it going so far? As much as that comment makes me want to scream, at least a long overdue debate is happening. So, let's have it. Even us limited government folks think government has a role to protect citizens. This clearly falls into that category. Second, the idea that pornography falls under free speech protections is also ridiculous. I mean, it's a stretch to consider the selling of digital flesh as a political or artistic endeavor worthy of protection. But the dissemination of the depraved abuse of real-life human beings, which is what so much porn is today, no way. Third, bondage to pornography isn't an expression of freedom, especially when victims are children. Porn is predatory. Because it is unregulated, it assaults citizens not looking for it. Even worse, kids are being targeted at shockingly early ages. That's why I was so grateful to learn of a letter by Princeton University's Robbie George, considered to be one of America's foremost conservative intellectuals, to U.S. Attorney General William Barr, pleading with him to take action against internet pornography. In his letter to Barr, excerpted at the Daily Wire, George points out that laws already on the books forbid the distribution of obscenity, especially to minors. George unflinchingly describes in his letter the dark, depraved world of increasingly brutal, abusive, and twisted content, bluntly concluding, a 13-year-old with a smartphone now has unlimited access to his own personal theater of sexual horrors. Because so-called adult entertainment targets those who aren't adults, Dr. George believes that existing laws can at least curb the madness. Still, as he described in his interview with me that you can hear on today's Breakpoint podcast episode, it's only a start. Much more will be required. In the letter, Dr. George also asked Attorney General Barr to clarify what types of pornography fall under the legal definition of obscenity and what his Department of Justice is doing to prosecute violators. Now, thankfully, the request is not likely to fall on deaf ears, Attorney General Barr is a devout Catholic and an outspoken critic of the secular view of freedom. Well, I'm eager to hear Barr's response. If any U.S. Attorney General in my lifetime thus far is likely to do something about the porn epidemic, it's him. And if anyone is likely to get a reply to a request, it's Dr. George. In our interview on the Breakpoint podcast, Dr. Robert George passionately describes why he wrote this letter to the Attorney General, the possibility of existing laws curbing the epidemic, and how you can stand with him in fighting this evil that enslaves millions and actively preys on children. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The omnipresent cloud deck that has produced some light snow and drizzle will gradually be breaking. Believe it or not, we have a fair amount of sunshine coming up later this week. Whether or not there is any impact at all from a potential weekend storm remains to be seen, although the thinking has been far enough east to spare us any direct impact, but we're going to keep an eye on it. In the meantime, it will be mostly cloudy this afternoon and tonight, with a touch of lake snow and flurries, little accumulation for most. Temperatures not moving much this afternoon, the low tonight in the 20s. Tomorrow, clouds break for sunshine in many areas across central and eastern Pennsylvania. Still a few flurries elsewhere, high temperatures, mid-20s to the mid-30s. Ample sunshine Thursday with high temperatures mostly in the lower 30s.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Tuesday, January 28th, another busy day in the newsroom. President Trump taking the wraps off his Mideast peace plan. That's happening right now at the White House. He's being joined by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The peace package includes a redrawn border between Israel and the West Bank. The president's Senate impeachment trial about to resume. Today is the final day of opening arguments for the defense. There's growing pressure for new witnesses to be called following explosive claims in a new book from former National Security Advisor John Bolton. Correspondent Paula Reed says the courts may have to step in here if Bolton is called as a witness.
Question for the judges would be, what do you do when there's a White House official who receives a legitimate congressional subpoena? Is executive privilege? Is that enough to block that individual from testifying? Specifically here, you have ongoing impeachment inquiry. You also have the fact that the president has tweeted about this. He's discussed his conversations with Bolton publicly.
That's Paula Reed reporting. Arizona Congresswoman Debbie Lesko says for Democrats, this trial is all about influencing the 2020 presidential election.
I would advise against the senators voting for more witnesses, because that really just plays into the Democrats' hands. All they want to do is prolong this. Their whole goal is not about impeachment. They know that he's going to be acquitted. They're trying to influence the 2020 election. They're trying to drag this out as long as they can.
And the trial will resume at 1 o'clock this afternoon. President Trump going to hit the campaign trail tonight. He's going to be in Wildwood, New Jersey, big beach town. That rally starts at 7, but the crowd started gathering on Sunday. Investigators continue to search for clues into the helicopter crash that claimed the life of basketball superstar Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter, and 7 others. Officials say the pilot tried to climb above the clouds right before slamming into a hillside, some 30 miles from downtown L.A.
My concern is just the decision-making process. If we weren't flying in that weather, why is anybody else flying?
That's L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva. The pilot was said to have an impeccable safety record. There are reports today that Kobe Bryant and his wife Vanessa had an agreement that they would never fly together in case something went wrong. The CDC warning Americans today not to travel to China if it is not urgent. Meantime, an effort is underway to get U.S. citizens out of the coronavirus zone in Wuhan, China. Here's correspondent Raymond Osencio.
The level of nervousness is now rising to a level of panic in certain cities. The reason for this is because the number of infected continues to rise. Overnight, it surpassed the 4,500 mark. That's a rise of 60% just overnight. And the number of dead rose by about 30% from 81 to more than 100. 106 is the number as it stands right now.
That's Raymond Osencio reporting. There are still 5 confirmed cases of the coronavirus in the U.S. Health Secretary Alex Azar holding a press conference earlier today saying President Trump closely monitoring the situation. And a copy of the articles of impeachment signed by President Trump is expected to bring more than $20,000 at auction. Correspondent Alisa Z.
At a December rally in Battle Creek, Michigan, Jonathan Moore pulled out a printed copy of the Articles of Impeachment and was able to get the president to autograph the front page. Golden Auctions of New Jersey put the piece on the auction block earlier this month with an opening bid of $4,000. The current bid is $14,000 and climbing. The auction will close February 22nd.
That is Alisa Z reporting, and we are coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, a Tuesday afternoon. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Kyle Unschbaugh from Milton, Pennsylvania. He's connecting conversation and the gospel message, one cup of coffee at a time.
The Well Coffee House is sort of the brainchild of our lead pastor, Arlie Davis, at Christ Wesleyan Church. The initial vision was just to do something we've never done before, to reach people we've never reached before. So, you know, we have a huge global missions footprint in areas that we focus in, and we really wanted to turn our attention to our local community. We have tons of programming. You know, most churches have lots of classes and options for people to, you know, study or learn about a variety of topics, whether it's financial, spiritual, you know, Bible knowledge, all those things. But none of that helps the people groups who don't want to come to church.
Yeah.
And so we found that through a coffee house, you really don't get that church vibe, and then suddenly you're approachable.
Yeah. So exactly. And there's something to be said about, you know, sitting down for coffee and conversation. Just share with us about the connections that take place at the Well Coffee House.
That's kind of what we're all about, actually. It's just sort of creating those connections. So because it exists on campus, we see a lot of church staff, and we also have a private Christian school here. A lot of school staff and faculty will visit us during the day. And so our customer base, which is majorly from our local community and not church attenders, without realizing it, are now interacting with church staff and pastors and directors. And pretty soon they realize, huh, I didn't burst into flames, or he didn't judge me, or, like, you know what I mean? There was no kind of shady looks off to the side, like, who is this person?
Yeah.
And they start to feel safe around those people, which is a huge first step.
How would you characterize the impact that the Well Coffee House is not just having on your church family there, but the community of Milton, Pennsylvania?
It's a great source of the connection to the community. We're able to utilize very simple forms of advertising, for example, you know, invite cards and posters on the wall here and there to introduce the community to events that are happening at the church that they otherwise, once again, would have no way of knowing because they won't come to a service or don't see the video announcements, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So concerts, productions, you know, those kind of things are great gateways or sort of entry points for non-church members and non-church community to begin coming into the church and experiencing something like a service for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, one of our delivery drivers came to a service because he came to a concert that he saw a poster for in the coffee shop. So it's just, you know, it's ways we don't even think about that people are just getting connected.
A lot of people are afraid to walk into a church, but, you know, a coffee shop is an entirely different thing. What does that say to you about church today and how we do church?
I could really safely say that lots of people have had bad experiences, I think, and that's where those walls come from. It's unfortunate, and I don't think any church is immune to it. You just have to be really intentional and really careful, and I think we've just been blessed with just really good leadership, a team who understands that and seeks to reach people where they are.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week is Kyle Unschbaugh from Milton, Pennsylvania. He's with the Well Coffee House, and you guys do a lot of things there, as you were mentioning earlier, but one of the things I found interesting was this effort to support clean water projects around the world.
It's just a neat opportunity, and it's actually kind of one of those big global areas that I shared that our church is involved in. Part of it was just nomenclature. You know, we're the well, so we might as well build wells.
Exactly. That's right.
We have a great relationship with World Hope, and so we don't do anything necessarily ourselves. We just funnel any extra funds, as well as all donations. None of our baristas take tips. Mm. So in lieu of tips, we ask for donations. Mm-hmm. And all of that goes to building fresh water wells, primarily Sierra Leone, Africa, but there's been a few others as well.
What do you enjoy most about your job, Kyle?
People. I'm a people person. And so I have an office and I have responsibilities, but luckily the office is off the corner of the coffee shop and the door stays open and it's cool. Some people might find it intrusive, but I think most customers feel comfortable enough to actually just pop in the doorway and say hi, and it's just really great.
That's Kyle Unschbaugh from Milton, Pennsylvania, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online anytime, fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The omnipresent cloud deck that has produced some light snow and drizzle will gradually be breaking. Believe it or not, we have a fair amount of sunshine coming up later this week. Whether or not there is any impact at all from a potential weekend storm remains to be seen, although the thinking has been far enough east to spare us any direct impact, but we're going to keep an eye on it. In the meantime, it will be mostly cloudy this afternoon and tonight, with a touch of lake snow and flurries, little accumulation for most. Temperatures not moving much this afternoon, the low tonight in the 20s. Tomorrow, clouds break for sunshine in many areas across central and eastern Pennsylvania. Still a few flurries elsewhere, high temperatures, mid-20s to the mid-30s. Ample sunshine Thursday with high temperatures mostly in the lower 30s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noon, break out the beans. Family Life's Brandon Dixon has more on a record dip.
As you plan out your Super Bowl party recipes, Bush's Beans has created a Guinness World Record 70-layer bean dip that weighs more than 1,000 pounds. That doubles the previous record of 540 pounds. The company says 19 people worked 12 hours each to make the appetizer. What's in it? 10 dip flavors, including veggie, Cuban, and fiesta, layered on top of each other. Bush's says the heaping helping of dip has been donated to a charitable organization. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Get the tortilla chips ready. Thank you, Brandon. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.